This is Bruce Cameron with Camorgi once again, folk music on 2MCE. We'll start the program today with a couple of tracks from Battlefield Band. First one, Seven Braguns, or seven rather attractive female garments, sung by Jenny Clark. Then an instrumental set, Silver Spear and the Humours of Tulla. Battlefield Band opening the program today.
I hear seven Braguns, another 79, but yet for all the Braguns, my laddie has turned his back. Besides of seven milking kines, Andy has but three, but yet for all the good kine, the laddie would he me. But yet for all the good kine, the laddie would he me. My daddy's a down for all the dyke, my mother can turn his spend, and I'm a fine fit county lass, the sinner comes clinking in. Cellar comes clinking in, and it's the grand to see. 50 times I've wondered now, what ails the lads at me? 50 times I've wondered now, what ails the lads at me? Whenever our old dog does bark, that's through the door I run, to see a nonny brightens bark, will light and venture in. But sick a laughter yet has come, the money and ink is by. Far then the puss I run, away for white and my. Siren, a wave of light am I. Seven brawn you guns a hay, another 70 mac. But yet for all the guns I hae, the laddies don't want to crack. When I was first at my prayers, I prayed but once a year. I prayed for a handsome young man, a lad with muckle gear. I prayed for a handsome young man, a lad with muckle gear.
But now when I'm at my prayers, I pray both night and day. And if I beg a man would come, well, him I would surely gae. And oh, what will come to me, whatever shall in spite of all my Braguns, there's no one here to woo.
In spite of all my Braguns, there's no one here to woo.
Thank you.
couple of pretty well-known Irish session tunes there from Battlefield Band, a Scottish band, of course, not Irish, Silver Spear and The Humours of Tulla. And opening the programme, Seven Brogoons from the same album by Battlefield Band, featuring vocals of Jenny Clark, who was with that band, I think, for only one or maybe two albums way back when the band was very new, late 60s, early 70s, I think. Welcome to Come All Ye once again. Good to have you along. There's a sort of Mexican-Scottish link to this one, sung by an English trio called Coop, Boys and Simpson. This is Frida Kahlo's visit to the Taybridge Bar, and the Taybridge Bar is in Dundee. See if you can work out what this is all about.
We were all flooded with a scarlet light. Came through the window with the rain outside. It all went quiet and a vision appeared, with a rose in her hair and a ring in her ear. And she says, Buenos dias, boys, this looks like the place to make my re-entry to the human race. Here I am, and here I'll stay, till it's hasta la vista, and I'm on my way. Then Vince says, she was a woman to whom life had been cruel, and she lived with a fat man of the naive school. He liked his beer and he put it about, but she truly loved him till the lights went out. Then she made her way up to the pearly gates. She saw St. Peter, he was pumping weights, and he says, hitch your lift upon this falling star and make your way down to the Taybridge Bar, and there'll be no more lies and no more tears, no more listening to the fat man's ears. There'll be no more tears and no more lies, no more looking through the fat man's eyes. She said she'd never been so happy in a long, long time, and her mind was relaxed and her body felt fine. She said, put on Perdido, tonight's the night, I wanna dance with Jimmy Howie in the pale moonlight. And there'll be no more lies and no more tears, no more listening to the fat man's ears. There'll be no more tears and no more lies, no more looking through the fat man's eyes. And there'll be no more lies and no more tears, no more listening to the fat man's ears. There'll be no more tears and no more lies, no more looking through the fat man's eyes. We were all flooded with a scarlet light.
Frida Kahlo's visit to the Taybridge Bar, sung there by Coop, Boys and Simpson, a composition of Michael Marra, M-A-R-R-A is his surname, and he was affectionately known as the Bard of Dundee. No longer around, but that was one of his more interesting efforts, Frida Kahlo visiting the Taybridge Bar. And I guess Diego Rivera didn't come out of that too well, did he? The fat man wasn't very popular. Next one, originally a poem, Old Grey Squirrel by Alfred Noyes. This is Bob Zentz having Old Grey Squirrel put to music from an album called Hove To and Drifting.
Now a long time ago there was a schoolboy who lived in a cottage by the sea, and the very first thing he could remember was the rigging of the schooners by the quay. He would watch them from his bedroom window, saw the big cranes hauling out the freight, And he used to dream of shipping as a sea cook and sailing for the Golden Gate. And he used to read the yellow penny dreadfuls. He read them where he fished for conger eels. And he'd listen to the slapping of the water, to the green and oily water round the keels. There were trawlers with their shark mouth flat fish, and the red nets a-hanging out to dry. And the skate the skipper kept because he liked them, and the landsman never knew the fish to fry. And before he went to sleep every evening, well, the last thing that he would see would be the sailor men a-dancing in the moonlight by the capstan that stands upon the quay. There were trawlers with the timber out of Norway, just oozing with the syrups of the pines. And there were rusty, dusty schooners out of Sunderland, and the ships of the Blue Cross Line. And to tumble down a hatch into a cabin was better than the best of broken rules, for the smell of them was like a Christmas dinner, and the feel of them was like a box of tools. And before he went to sleep every evening, the last thing that he did see would be the sailor man a-dancing in the moonlight by the capstan that stands upon the quay. Now he's sitting on a high stool in London. The Golden Gate is very far away. Well, they caught him and they caged him like a squirrel, and now he's toting up accounts and going gray. And he'll never, never, never get to Frisco, but the last thing that he may see will be the sailor men dancing in the sunrise by the capstan that stands upon the quay, to the tune of the old concertina by the capstan that stands upon the quay.
Thank you.
bold, energetic music there from the wonderful band Felpayu from Asturias in northern Spain, a track called Porfía from their album Ya. Before that, Bob Zentz and the Old Grey Squirrel, the Alfred Noyes poem put to music. Now, most of the second half of the program today is going to be a radio ballad. We heard Ewan McColl's series of radio ballads at the beginning of 2023 on the program, and today, not one of his, but a more recent one put together by Jackie Oates and John Spears. It's called The Lace Makers. I'll tell you a bit more about it as we get closer to the middle of the program. It'll take up, as I said, most of the second half of the program. It goes for about 50 minutes or so. But right now, time for two tracks from Dave Swarbrick, a solo album of his called Smiddy Burn. We'll hear It Suits Me Well and then What Ye Wah.
I travel the land. There are no chains about me. I am my own man. I can tell a fair old story, which I'm sure ain't no surprise. All the places I have been are, and they ain't no lies. I've never had a proper home, not one like yours is. I've nearly always had a caravan with horses, and I know you won't believe me, though it is the truth to tell, that the living it is harder, but it suits me well. Years old, I joined the circus. I can tell you a fair old story, which I'm sure ain't no surprise, of the places we have played are, and they ain't no lies. I've never had no money and no hope to get none. I can always get a penny when there is good reason. And I know you won't believe me, though it is the truth to tell, that the living it is harder, but it suits me well.
Dave Swarbrick getting a bit worked up there towards the end. Two tracks from his 1981 album called Smitty Burn. We heard It Suits Me Well, then What Ye Wah. Swarbrick released that as a solo album, but obviously there were other people playing on it. That very distinctive Fairport Convention folk rock style, didn't it? 1981 album. Another one ostensibly with Scottish vocals. You might recognise it as a parody of a song called The Road to the Isles, which was a patriotic song for World War I troops. Not in this format, it's not.
What the Crummock Grindles Cantilea bang the thraping bike and the bowstring bannocks bringe about the kye. The whinge and whammy diddlers wattle round the dirling dyke and Capsule Teary Tully's total by. The priest straps weft the blutery doos and ends the coonsy push, and the heapy hardy scarted spliffed and sore. Yon peery pintle pint and tae the lochin moon on heek, and your dangleberry socking in the glore. It's the podling o' the nymphals and the rent and rock the tors. Clarty Clish McClaver's doon the shock. The glaikit gomerals loupin' o'er the hurtling blashing dods. Mag me admire all gall I richtin' enough. It's the pochlin' o' the nyokles and the clipin' o' the kale. The blutterin' burly bumclaws brend the pree. It's the haven horny gollocks loupin' peely welly pale. That like bonny bonny Scotland meant to be.
A not very subtle reworking of The Road to the Isles there. That was The Pochlin or The Nyochles by the Tour a Rural Cayley Band. That came from a stage show. It was not meant to be terribly serious, just in case you were wondering. The Pochlin or The Nyochles, not The Road to the Isles. Track now from Paddy Glacken and Jolyon Jackson from a terrific old album called High Kings of Tara. They had a couple of tracks, I think, on that album, and this is The Long Note. And then I'll play two by a Australian band, Trouble in the Kitchen, Taking His Chance and The Beauty Spot. You're listening to Come All Ye on 2MCE.
Thank you. stood by the door of the inn on the rise. My canny looked up in the bush ranger's eyes. Oh, why did you come? It was mad of you, Jack. You know that the troopers are out on your track. A laugh and a shake of your obstinate head. I wanted a dance and I'll chance it, he said. Some 20-odd bushmen had come to the ball, but Jack from his youth had been known to them all. And bushmen are soft where a woman is fair, so the love of May Carney protected him there. Through all the short evening, it seems like romance, she danced with a bushranger taking his chance. At midnight, the dancers stood suddenly still. The hoofbeats were heard on the side of the hill. Ben Duggan, the drover along the hillside, came riding as only a bushman can ride. He sprang from his horse to the dancers he sped. The troopers are down in the gully, he said. Quite close to the shanty, the troopers were seen. Clear out and ride hard for the rangers, Jack Dean. Be quick, said May Carney, her hand on her heart. We'll bluff them a while and we'll give you a start. He lingered a moment to kiss her, of course, then ran to the trees where he'd hobbled his horse. She ran to the gate, and the troopers were there. The jingle of hobbles came faint on the air. Then loudly she screamed, it was only to drown the treacherous clatter of slip rails let down. The troopers are sharp, and she saw at a glance that someone was taking a desperate chance. They chased him, they shouted, surrender, Jack Dean. They called him three times in the name of the Queen. Then came from the darkness the clicking of locks, and the crack of a rifle was heard in the rocks. A shriek and a shout and a rush of pale men, and there lay the bush ranger chasing in. And dismounted and knelt on the sod. The bush ranging's over, make peace, Jack, with God. But the dying man laughed, not a word he replied, as he turned to the girl who knelt down by his side. He gazed in her eyes as she lifted his hand. Just kiss me, my girl, and I'll chance it, he said. Thank you.
fortunes in that track. The Beauty Spot, the Drummond Lasses, Return to Camden Town, and McFadden's Handsome Daughter. Before that, from the same album by Trouble in the Kitchen, we heard Taking His Chance, which was a Henry Lawson poem put to music very nicely. I'll play a couple more and then introduce you to the feature on the program today. It's a radio ballad called The Lacemakers. More of that after we hear two tracks from a lovely duo called Red Tail Ring. Laurel Primo and Michael Beecham are these two musicians from America. We'll hear a song that I'm sure you'll recognise, Come All You Fair and Tender Ladies, and then an instrumental. You may or may not know the first one. It's called The Camp Meeting on the 4th of July. Then the second tune in the set is called Mayday. This is Red Tail Ring.
I am not
called Fall Away Blues, two tracks by the duo Red Tail Ring, Laurel Primo and Michael Beecham. That instrumental there was Camp Meeting on the 4th of July and May Day. And the song, of course, was Come All You Fair and Tender Ladies. Nice interpretation there. Time to introduce you to our feature today. And as I've been telling you, it's a radio ballad, similar in style to the ones that Ewan McColl and Peggy Seeger and Charles Parker produced way back in the 1950s and 60s. This is called The Lacemakers by Jackie Oates and John Spears, two pretty well-known English folk musicians. Well, the full name of it, I guess, is The Lacemakers, The Lost Art of Telling. The tradition of lace telling involves songs sung by the lace-making girls of Bedfordshire, Northamptonshire and Buckinghamshire. So we're talking southern Midlands, mostly, of England. We'll just let it run. As I said earlier, it goes for about 48 minutes. Some of it's self-explanatory, some of it is just kind of songs put together. See what you think. I'll talk to you at the end.
The sparks for this story first appeared on a Friday afternoon in December, when I was engrossed in the raising of new lives, whilst familiar life was slowly unravelling. When from baby haze I suddenly found myself with the task of weaving folk songs into the life of a museum. A museum now adorned with rural wonders, where once students spent happy hours studying and gazing onto gardens passed from Alfred Huntley to St Andrew's Hall. And once amongst those, my mother, whiling away the halcyon days of which I now fear there were few. Needle pin, needle pin, stitch upon stitch. Backwards through the years, teenager to child to toddler to the lady of skin and bone, when it is only at the point of realising that something has been lost, that the jigsaw pieces of the past start to come together and we realise that we are all made up of every little fragment of what has gone before. And so I want to think about the dust, the bits and bobs, the feminine, that which unites me with my mother, of unexpected beauty, of a fabric box with a heavy lid brimming with things, a jar of buttons, a bright yellow knitting needle case, zips, clasps, and, I'm sure of it, lacemakers' bobbins with their gleaming gemstones, things that would one day be shaken out of their hibernation and scattered unwittingly. If I cannot take you there, if I cannot reclaim all that has been given away, I will capture its beauty through the lost art of telling.
There was a lady all skin and bone, and such a lady was never known. It happened on a holy day. The lady went to the church to pray, and when she came unto the stile, she tarried along, and sin and sorrow to beguile. And she looked up and she looked down, and she saw a dead man upon the ground, and from his nose and to his chin the worms crept out, and the worms crept in. And the lady to the sexton said, shall I be so when I am dead? And the sexton to the lady said, you'll be the same when you are dead.
Needlepin, needlepin, stitch upon stitch, pull the old lady out of the ditch.
Jack needle be pin, nimble, Jack needle be pin, quick, stitch Jack jump upon over stitch, the candlestick.
Pull the old
Jack
lady
be nimble,
out
Jack
of the
be
ditch.
Quick, Jack 9 miles
to the Isle of Wight.
Jack
stitch
shall I get
on there by
Jack
candlelight.
Be quick,
pull the
Jack
old
jump
lady
over the candlestick. Jack
light.
Be nimble,
needle
Jack
there
be
by
needle
pin. Pin.
Jack jump over the
19 miles to the Isle of Wight. Shall I get there by candlelight? Yes, if your fingers go nism and light, you'll get there by candlelight.
My name is Hannah Wilson. I come from the parish of Oney in Buckinghamshire. I, like my mother and her mother, am a lace maker, an intricate skill passed down from the maids of Flanders. In every village of every town in southern England you can spot us. We are the free maids that weave our thread with bones.
William Cowper, English poet and composer of hymns, lived in Oney. In his poem Truth, he paints a picture of the lacemakers, whom he would see regularly, sitting in doorways or dotted along his walk from Oney to Weston Underwood.
Young cottager, who lives at her own door, pillow and bobbins all her little store, content though mean, and cheerful if not gay, shuffling her threads about the livelong day. She earns a scanty pittance, and at night lies down secure her heart and pocket light. She for her humble sphere, by nature fit, has little understanding and no wit, receives no praise, but though her lot be such, toilsome and indignant, she renders much. She knows and knows no more, her Bible true, a truth the brilliant Frenchman never knew. And in that charter reads, with sparkling eyes, her title to a treasure in the skies.
You will find me neatly dressed, bare neck and arms, hair in plaits lest a stray hair should fall and get worked up with the lace.
Like a lace maker working viscous rags to her back. So take the lace maker, it's all that you together in the sunshiny day. The pillows, they shine like the blossoms in May. Their fingers are lissom, their bobbins are small. So now I have told you the truth of it all.
When I was five, my mother took me to the lace school down at the old penny house and gave the teacher a shilling. I should have liked to have learnt to read or write, but Mrs. Duxbury preferred us to spend our time using our hands for the lace pillow. There we sat, row upon row of four-legged stools, facing our lace pillow, which was covered in bobbins and pins, balanced on knee and three-legged pillow horse. And so the dilling began, lace edging at first, the pea, the ninepin, the town trot, the spider, and then onto the kidney bean, the plaited star, the diamond and chain, unto the running river. How my poor head ached from the puzzle of it all. Bent over, I tried to hoist threads around pin after pin, whilst fierce eyes and long, thin, yellow fingers watched me, ever ready to scold or to chastise. Do your stitch, stick your pin, and do your stitch about it. Through autumn and winter we would sit thus, with no fire to warm us, for the smoke and dust from the flame should spoil our lace. Come Tander's Day until Candlemas, we're permitted to sit with dicky pots at our feet, and to gather around the candle block at eventide. But in the summertime, windows can be opened, and we can sit out of doors. A small gratitude to sit under the old ash tree, with the light of the sun shining down, and the fresh breeze, a reminder of freedoms that await us once the day's work is done.
And thus we lead most merry lives. We heed no young man's telling. We scorn for to be married wives. We'll keep our fingers playing. Thank you.
tie it up by three, send it home by four. Make her work hard at five, give her a supper at six, send her to bed at seven, cover her up at eight. Throw her downstairs at nine, break her neck at ten, weld it by 11, stamp her in at 12. How can I make the clock strike one, one, unless you tell me how many you've done, tell me how many you've done. Gather the rod by two, tie it up by three, send it home by four. Make her work hard at five, give her a supper at six, send it to bed at seven, cover her up at eight. Throw her downstairs at nine, break her neck at ten, weld it by 11, stamp her in at 12. How can I make the clock strike one, one, unless you tell me how many you've done, tell me how many you've done.
Ours is a world where scraps of village history weave themselves into the lace.
There is scarcely a door to be seen during summer, but what is occupied by some industrious pale-faced lass, the sedentary tale forbidding the rose to bloom in their sickly cheeks.
To counter our toils, we while away the hours singing rhymes or tells at the pillow, as many have done before us.
The spinsters and the knitters in the sun, and the free maids that weave their thread with bones do use to chant. So says Duke Orsino in Twelfth Night, whose creator Shakespeare, familiar as he is of the Buckinghamshire scenery, may well have heard the songs of the bone lace weavers for himself.
Come away, come away, death, and in sad cypress let me be.
Days stretch into long nights, and while others are taking to their beds, still we sit, working to finish our pieces. As my mind wanders to the dances and company others may be enjoying, and my eyelids feel hot and heavy, it is then I need the songs and the riddles to keep me alert and my fingers busy.
When we were silly sisters, seven sisters were so mild. Five went to the bride bed, and five were dead with child. Then it upspoke young Mary, and it's single she would bide. For if ever she was in man's bed, the same death she would die.
Our songs and tales abound in allusion to the grisly, the lurid, to the macabre, the shroud and the lightning flash. Anything that lights up the darkening room, that brings life to that which is pallid, that sends a thrill to the heart and keeps it beating.
As I was walking out one day, all in the merry month of May, the birds did sing and the lambs did play, I met an old man by the way. The birds did sing and the lambs did play, I met an old man by the way. His head was bald and his beard was grey, his cloak was of a myrtle shade. I asked him what strange countryman, oh, what strange place did he belong? I asked him what strange countryman, oh, what strange place did he belong? My name is Death, oh, can't you see? Lords, dukes and earls bow down to me. And you are one of those branches three, and so fair maid, you must go with me. And you are one of those branches three, and so fair maid, you must go with me. I'll give you gold and I'll give you pearl, I'll give you costly robes to wear, I'll give you all I have in store, if you can let me live some more. I'll give you all I have in store, if you can let me live some more. Oh lady, lay your robes aside, no longer glory in your pride. And so fair maid, make no delay, your time has come. Death he hath betrayed. Here lies a poor and distressed maid, whom lately death he hath betrayed.
19 golden girls. Between each line comes the glum, in which pin upon pin is stuck into the pillow, and when that is done, the reward comes in the singing of another verse.
A lad down at Tony looked over the wall and saw 19 little golden girls playing at ball. Golden girls, will you be mine?
you shall neither wash dishes nor wait on the swine, but sit on a cushion and sew a fine seam. Eat white bread and butter and strawberries and cream.
Golden girls, of course, are the gold-headed pins that mark the footside of the lace, and 19, as runs in many tells, being the number at which counting often begins.
20 pins invited, do let ways be ever so dirty, but never a penny in my purse, but farthings 5 and 30. Betsy Bays and Polly Mays, they are two bonny lasses. They built a bower upon the tower and covered it with rushes.
To carry rushes and garlands to church on rush-bearing day, to go to Gallygolden Fair, to attend your own wedding, these things could only happen once the heads of lace had been completed.
19 long miles hanging over my door. The faster I'll work, I'll shorten my score. But when I do play, it'll stand at my stay. So my little fingers will twink it away. For after tomorrow comes my wedding day. Wall flowers growing up so high. We are all the ladies, we shall have to die. Excepting Hannah Wilson, she's the only one. She can hop, she can skip, she can turn the candlestick. Turn your back, you saucy cat, and say no more to me. For if you do, we'll set on you and tie you to a tree.
First wife, Catherine of Aragon, introduced the art of lace making into Bedfordshire during her sojourn at Ampt Hill in 1531. She was a great adept in the arts of the needle herself, having been taught dancing, drawing, embroidery, lace making and weaving at court. But the lace makers of Buckinghamshire fondly remembered Queen Catherine for another reason. When she was told that the lacemakers struggled for employment, she burned her own royal lace so that they would have work in replacing it.
For one glorious day, St Andrew's Day, or as we say, Tander's Day, the last day of November, we put down our bobbins and we pay thanks to St Catherine. Before daybreak, we hear the bellman ringing his bell and calling out, "Rise, maids, rise, bake your cotton pies, bake enough and bake no waste, and let the bellman have a taste." Everywhere fiddles strike up and ballads are sung, and the day is enjoyed with all the abandon of young and giddy spirits. We congregate in one another's housen, eating thrummity and drinking methylene, with toast floating at the top. After the old folks have gone to bed, we play Bob Apple, Jumping the Candlestick, and other riotous games. This holiday, we are allowed to light the candle on the stool surrounded by glass globes for reflection of light, in order that we can see the lace in the dark winter months.
In the traditional centres of lace making, in Belgium, Flanders, and France, the lace makers use dozens of identical plain bobbins. But each bobbin on the pillow of an English lace maker was different. Hand-carved or turned on a treadle lathe, her bobbins were made of wood or bone. Dark, hard-grained woods or fruit woods like cherry and plum, and ox or mutton bone, producing pale white bobbins that would stand out against a coloured pillow.
Bobbin makers supplied lace shops in villages and towns with bobbins, and often travelled around the countryside selling their wares. They carried with them both the cheapest, plain wooden bobbins and more expensive bone bobbins for those who could afford them, sold with or without spangles.
Each bobbin was 3 or 4 inches long, with a neck where the thread was wound, a head where thread was hitched to keep it from coming unwound, and a shank by which the bobbin was held and moved. A bobbin could be intricately carved, painted, inlaid with pewter, wire-bound or inscribed with names and dates. Each bobbin ended in a decorative ring of beads called a spangle, or in some parts of Oxfordshire, a jinkum. Spangles not only added colour to the bobbins, they also added some extra weight to help tension the thread.
Spangles also helped to keep bobbins in the right place on the pillow when they weren't being used. Without spangles, the bobbins might roll off the sides of the pillow and become entangled. Square cut beads were expensive, so many lace makers bought penny necklaces from fairs and village shops to make their own spangles. Lace makers would sometimes thread charms and mementos into their spangles, such as buttons, shells or coins, or even brass buttons from military uniforms.
Every bobbin a lace maker used was unique. Different people would have given them to her, and she would have personalised them by adding her own decoration. A lace maker's bobbin and pillow was her world. Her set of bobbins and their decorations not only recorded her personal and family history, but all sorts of events of local and national significance.
On my pillow lies an old maid threaded with a spangle of bright beads, two green and two amber, a bone bobbin with my name in red around the base. There's a church window with a baby that slides and rattles inside, a fat bobbin spangled with a button of jet black glass, and two more buttons off a Royal Navy jacket, a bobbin for Amelia with the day she was born, and one for Uncle Joseph, a bobbin for the highwayman who was hanged at Holtspur Heath. Bobbins with prayers, too. Seek salvation, and thy kingdom come. A bobbin that shines like silver in the lamplight, and another wound with brass that shines like gold. But my favourite bobbin of all, well, that says, forget me not. And I'm not telling you who gave me it. But he says he's going to marry me one day, and I think I might just let him. The ledger clerk cycles to our doors to collect that week's yard of lace, made from materials that we bought ourselves from the lace factory. The narrowest 9-pin lace can earn but 4 pence, and wider lace, a 12-pin or spider, can earn as much as sevenpence. Lace such as this can be sewn onto handkerchiefs, a shilling for the widest lace for edging around tablecloths. From the lace factory, tradesmen can buy the lace and sell it on at greatly increased prices to be sold at special lace markets in London and make a handsome profit for themselves. Whilst us lace makers can only hope that the fortnight's labour will produce enough to buy the next round of threads.
There often wanders one whom's better days saw better clad in cloak of satin trimmed with lace and hat with splendid ribbon bound. She heard the doleful tidings of his death and never smiled again. And now she roams the dreary waste, there spends the livelong day.
There comes a time when something once vibrant, once overfull of life, must fade and fall like a yellow leaf. For the lace makers, whether in cottage or lace school, there reached a point of discouragement, a point at which fair payment could not be obtained to match that of the pains involved in the task. Poor remuneration prevailed amidst a climate of mechanisation and changing fashion. Fine half-stitch fell to coarse edgings, and for those still clinging steadfastly, fine threads and old parchments had to be cast aside for cotton and clumsy thick pins and cardboard. Stiff and repellent patterns, devoid of artistic merit, where once old, graceful, flowing flowers had prevailed. Monotonous repetition. But memories can preserve, renew, and revive. The ashes of a forgotten way are only hidden for a time. Needle pin, needle pin, stitch upon stitch. Work the old lady out of the ditch. If she is not out as soon as I, a rap on the knuckles will come by and by. A horse to carry my lady about must not look off till 20 are out.
After I left the lay school, some of us continued to meet in each other's cottages in turn to work, and so save fuel. Each visitor would take along a pinch of tea leaf as a contribution to the brew. Day after day, the sound of hundreds of bobbins clicking, wickering bobbins around pins, pushing one bunch back and grabbing another lot, never seeming to stop and look. See the lace maker at work. Her left hand continually moving bobbins back, forth, over, under, whilst her right sticks in the pins. The rhythm of the clicking bobbins never ceasing until a thread breaks or a bobbin runs out. The music of the bobbins. Sad to say, a lost joy, for a modern worker cannot get the same rhythm. Only those who learned at the age of 4 or 5 and worked on for 70 or 80 years could get that unforgettable music from the bobbins.
Thank you.
And there we have it. That was The Lace Makers, The Lost Art of Telling, a project put together by Jackie Oates, fiddle player and singer from Oxfordshire, and John Spears, melodeon player, perhaps best known for his work with the group Bellowhead. The Lace Makers also exists as a standard format album. It's called Needle Pin, Needle Pin. So it's an album of songs without that narrative interlinking it. If you want to listen to The Lace Makers again, or indeed any Come All Ye programs in the last few years, you can do so, because they're all available on Listen On Demand by pressing a couple of buttons on the website of the program, comeallye.com, or the radio station's own website, 2mce.org. Either way, it'll take you to Listen On Demand or podcast, call it what you will. So, we'll move on. That was the feature for the program, obviously, and we'll go out with a couple more tracks.
Come gather in, my lovely lads, and listen to my song. I'll sing about the days when the colony was young. How the men of property betrayed the labouring class with a transportation system, aye, and how it came to pass. Historians may tell you the convict maids and men were dredges of society and fit to be condemned. But let the truth be spoken, they were victims of the blight, forced by cruel laws to steal what should have been their right. Improvement was the catchword, it was ringing through the land. Industry was gearing up to meet the great demand. New methods of production and new ways to cut the cost. If you couldn't run the race, then on the slag heap you were tossed. With capital and clergy, the landlords did conspire to dispossess the poor and raise the nation's profits higher. They drove them in their thousands from the glens and from the dales into wooden hulks and shipped them off to New South Wales. Come all ye sons of liberty, together raise your voice. Stand up and sing the praises of the wild colonial boys who would not bend to slavery or kiss the hand of fate when the chips were down. They stood their ground and they didn't retaliate. They lashed them at the flogging post. They to the plough. The treatment's plenty told, no decency allowed. Men and women, boys and girls, from honest labour and stock, condemned for nothing more than being the black sheep of the flock. But some of farmer metal from the tyrants got away, Jack Doolan and Jack Donahue, Jim Jones of Botany Bay. They gave the law a fair return for the treatment they received, and the spirit of resistance is the legacy they leave. Come all ye sons of liberty, together raise your voice, stand up and sing the praises of the wild colonial boys, who would not bend to slavery or kiss the hand of fate. When the chips were down, they stood their ground and they didn't retaliate. Exploits of the ranging lads were known to one and all. In sheer and shad and shanty, they would wonder at their goal. Were the convict lads who died beneath the whip, with a cry, remember Donahue, still sounding on their lips. And though their days are over, they'll never be forgot. They fought until they fell before they'd face the hangman's knot. And now, whenever folk meet, they sing the old bush songs. Be proud to speak the name of Doolan, Donahue and Jones. Come all ye sons of liberty, together raise your voice, stand up and sing the praises of the wild colonial boys, who would not bend to slavery or kiss the hand of fate. When the chips were down, they stood their ground and they didn't retaliate.
A song by Alistair Hewlett and Dave Swarbrick. I don't play that one very often on the program, I guess because it's fairly long. It's called Sons of Liberty. It comes from a terrific album called The Cold Grey Light of Dawn. Time for me to leave you now and go out with a polka. This is, I think they're about to get into Dez's polka. This is a group from Spain called La Musgaña, the album Entre Dos. I'll talk to you next time. I'm Bruce Cameron. You've been listening to Come All Ye on 2MCE Community Radio. Bye now.